heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to more of your text. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Tuesday, our friend, Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, joins us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Well, we haven't talked since the Charlie Kirk incident, and just your thoughts on that.
I'll tell you, that has been and I know I'm not the only one here, but I have been absolutely devastated and just heartbroken. Charlie and I guess I met him back in 2018, and he was one of the national influencers who really tried to be involved with the RNC and the 168 there, and kind of hit it off. I was the youngest chairman, state Republican Party chairman in the country, worked on several projects with him, and I've told the story a lot. The last time I talked to him, he was bragging about his children. And I don't think you'll ever find a man more proud of his kids than Charlie Kirk was. And just thinking about the personal side, right? I know a lot of people view him as a national figure. For me, not only was he that national figure leading our young people, in the cause of freedom and fighting for American values, but he was also a friend. And then I think about the personal side, his beautiful wife, two loving children, and I'm just the tragedy on a human level that those two kids are never going to get to know their dad, and just how sad and how what a tragedy and what a useless act of violence this was.
Now, and kind of talking about his legacy. Number one, we see these conservative kind of figures come and go. He never went, though. He was still on the ascent, and he was more than just a guy who would go out and give speeches at campuses and collect a big check or whatever. But he was a guy I thought in 24 that played a pivotal role there, at least some degree, with voting and getting voters out. The long struggle for Republicans was getting younger voters out. And I think that, is an understated part of Charlie Kirk.
Oh, 100%. Look, there is a very, very good chance that we will be reaping the benefits of Charlie Kirk's work for decades to come. And I think it's our duty. Those of us who love freedom, who love liberty, who love the, family values, righteousness, it's our duty to keep his spirit alive and to keep this movement going. Because we're seeing trends with young people that the Republican Party and conservatism has not seen in decades. And I think that speaks to his work, to his voice, and to challenging young people about what, the status quo and what the mainstream media and their, leftist professors may be encouraging them to believe. And I think that's the legacy of Charlie Kirk. He believed in freedom. And he believed in the American dream, like almost no one else on the national stage. And I think that's it brings it back to us, because I think we saw what he accomplished. And I think it's a charge for every one of us to continue that movement and continue fighting, because it is a fight worth fighting. And it goes past politics. What I love about Charlie Kirk's time with Turning Point was how he recognized, started off as the ground, as a door knocking group and just grew to so much more than that. As he recognized, this is not just a political battle. This is a spiritual battle. And it's about the hearts and the souls and the minds of young people. And that's where the progressives, that's where this socialist movement is targeting the most. And in a free, if you want to make an impact in a free society, it's to challenge where darkness and where your enemies are challenging. And that's what Charlie Kirk did. He stood in the gap. And he fought for our future and our future generations. I'm just so proud of his work and what he's accomplished. And my charge for myself and for everyone else is to continue that work.
Yeah, and, I'm, and this is me speaking But I'm a little. I mean, I knew this was a. It was a big deal. It's a tragedy. It doesn't need to be, you know, minimized or anything like that at all. But what I kind of an observation here is just that this seems to have like a more profound impact in, you know, just in mainstream America. It's all people were talking about at church on Sunday. People who aren't particularly political. Yep. It seems to hit a little different. I would say, you know, and you look at, you know, the assassination attempts, even to some degree, the attempt on Trump, but certainly the United Healthcare CEO or things like that. This one really, really, really seemed to have sparked a lot of dialogue.
Well, I think there's a couple things there. One, just Charlie Kirk was young, vivacious. Like there's so much life and so much passion in Charlie Kirk. And to watch him, you know, this wasn't an assassination attempt, right? It was successful. And not just successful, but like videoed on camera, where just about everyone at this point has seen that bullet strike him and him collapse. And I think that brings a human element into this, you know, actually watching someone die in the prime of their life should. Like, I'm actually proud of the American public because it should have an impact. This highlights just so much of what's wrong. And even more than the senseless act itself has been some of the responses we've seen from people across the country, especially seeming to target, you know, a lot of these seem to be teachers and professors. And I think that really highlights the problem we have in our education system today. We have got to calm down this rhetoric. I know, look, I've got a library board meeting. You know, I'm chairman of the APLS board. I've got a library board meeting come up on Thursday. And Fair Hope, the issue of Fair Hope is coming up, you know, and whether they're going to ask for their funding back. And I think, you know, this is going to play a role in that meeting, because I think we have to recognize that this is a divisive time in our country. And we have to recognize that the rhetoric from the left, calling people Nazis, calling them enemies of democracy, has to end. Because if someone is an enemy of democracy, it's no longer a political statement, right? It's no longer a political debate. It's saying that person is an enemy of something that's good, and they you know, that leads to encouraging act of violence. It's because, of course, you're going to try to save democracy from Nazis. And I think that's the type of rhetoric from the left that has to end. And if it doesn't, we're going to see these things continue.
Well, and, you know, what bothers me was immediately out of the gate, Chairman, both sides need to cool it. Both sides need to tone it down. Both you guys on the right are just as much to blame for this as these mainstream media platforms calling Donald Trump a Nazi, an authoritarian, a fascist, whatever it was there. You're just as much to blame for this as they are. And I reject that.
I wholeheartedly reject it. Look, let's be very honest and clear. Actions have consequences, and we have to live in reality. The bullets are only going one way. And when the bullets are only going one way, that means there is a problem on the side from where the anger, hatred, and attempted murder and murder itself is coming from. And I think it's very clear that this has to be rejected. We have to hold people to accountability that reality matters, that there are clear divisions here. And look, I'm the first to say, do we need more civility? Yes. I try to be a diplomat in everything I do, but I'm also not going to ignore the truth and let those who are inciting violence, who are intentionally lying, blowing things out of proportion, get away with these acts without challenging on the fact that they are the ones who are encouraging hatred that leads to violent acts. And that's just truth. And we should be bold about it. We should be fearless about it. Charlie Kirk would have been bold and fearless about it. And we have to hold to that same accountability. These acts are only going one way, and there is a reason for that.
And then the other component, the gun grabbing culture is trying to, I guess, make a flex here. But, you know, these guys, it's just shameless opportunism. And it's so distasteful, but that seems to be where they went on the other side.
Now, look, of course. Well, it's the only thing they had, right? I saw several posts, in my opinion, are just as just as troubling as outright celebrations of Charlie Kirk's death were the ones saying it's ironic that, you know, someone who supported the Second Amendment was shot. Well, look, violence is not, it's not about the tool that's used. It's about the hatred in the heart of where it comes from. And this just shows once again how blind and how disingenuous and how wrong the left is. They've got to understand this is not a gun problem. This is not a knife problem. This is not whatever tool that's used. This is a heart problem. And until they realize that and they start to talk about the values that lead to these acts, and until they start to realize that what we have is an identity crisis in America. You know, I've been thinking a lot about Charlie Kirk's message, like what he stood for, what he recognized as the problem. And I think a lot of it started, you know, in his later years, he was dialing down more and more on faith. And I think there's a reason for that. Look, if we don't recognize as a culture that the human existence has a component of faith and supernatural, then we reject a piece of what makes humanity humanity. And I think that's what we're seeing in our public education system today. We've taken God out of civil life. We've taken God out of government, out of schools, out of everything. And when we do that, it doesn't mean there's not still a place there. And so there's this hole in our society. There's a hole in people. And that is filled with something. Maybe it's secular humanism, where they're looking to government and to creating a utopia through the power of man. Or maybe it's hopelessness. And that's what we see with our young people today. So many people either bought into the socialist agenda of man having the power to create good, or hopelessness and drug addiction and alcohol and suicides with our young people. And I think it's because of this hole that we're leaving within our society by rejecting the understanding that we are by nature spiritual beings. And that has to be, there has to be an answer, and there has to be faith in order to be, and in order to recognize the human existence.
Joined by John Wallace, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, here on the program. The municipal election, we're a week away. You know, and Mobile's the big one. This has sort of been the trend here, and I don't know how you can respond to this, but I do want to hear your reaction. Barbara Drummond, Democrat lawmaker for Mobile, she's in a runoff against Spiro Tirogotas. She's decided to run against Republicans, and so she's obviously making her opponent out to be some kind of MAGA Republican. I think that is so misguided. I don't think that this is, number one, the time for that, but number two, it almost reeks of desperation and or, hey, you've got people from the outside coming in and giving you bad advice and trying to run against, and I know Mobile's a purple city or maybe even leans blue, but trying to make this a referendum on Donald Trump at this point in time seems so misguided.
Well, look, I'm sure they're looking at the numbers where, you know, in the city of Mobile, Biden, I think got almost 60% of the vote. And so I'm sure they're looking at that. Like, if they can create that referendum, that helps them. I think what they're forgetting is the public want leadership. They want they especially on the nonpartisan mayoral race, they're looking for someone who will actually talk about the issues that are at hand. And look, there are some serious issues in Mobile: crime, economic development, creating jobs, the economy. And if all she can talk about is the negativity towards her opponent of being a Republican, I think you're right. I think that's a flawed message by nature. I think I would much rather see Candace talking about what they're going to do to help the public.
Well, he's not even running as like a true traditional Republican. He's, in fact, I would say in some cases running away from it. But
again, it's a nonpartisan race, right?
Right.
So I honestly don't even know whether he's a Republican or Democrat. You know, it's her machine that is trying to create that image.
Well, what I would say, though, I don't like this, like, malignment of Republicans. You know, the people in Mobile vote the way they do. Presidential elections are much different than municipal elections. And instead of, like, and look, she can do whatever she wants. It's her campaign. But kind of watching it and thinking, like, well, you know, municipal elections, you're talking about you know, growth or water and sewer, paving streets, economic development, education, whatever, et cetera. And you see this direction here, number one, villainizing Republicans, which I take personally. But number two, I just don't believe that's the winning message.
I know. Look, I completely agree, especially when you look at leadership across Alabama and across the nation as a whole. The cities that are run by these extremist Democrats, and look, let's call a spade, right? Like, if you're attacking someone, your opponent, for being a far-right MAGA Republican, well, that means you don't see any value in conservative principles. And I think that's sad from any candidate, whatever party, because free markets, hard work, there's a lot of values that are Republican values that you should respect, even if you're not on that party. And I think that, so these extremist Democrats, we see what happens in cities where they're elected. And these are just facts. Crime goes up. Customer service goes down. The city becomes less efficient. The economy tanks. People have a harder time finding jobs. They have a harder time providing for their families. And so I think you're absolutely right. These are, if all you're running on is that your opponent has conservative values, then you're missing the picture of good leadership. And that city is going to be condemned to go. If the track record of history and cities across the country are anything to go by, that city will suffer because of those decisions.
Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wally. Gentlemen, Chairman, folks want to find out more about the ALGOP. How could they do so?
Well, look, we always like to stay connected. We're on all major social media at Alabama Republican Party. And then, of course, our website where folks can sign up to get involved is ALGOP.org.
Chairman John Wall here on the program. Chairman, thanks again.
Always good to be on the show.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.